This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music and conversation from OCRemix.org. This week, we chat with Nutritious about his track for Window to the Stars, do a bit of networking with Elisa Menez in her episode of Strategy Guide, and throw Final Fantasy under the bus in a square-filled playlist.
Hi!
Hey!
Hello!
All right, are we done here? Can we go play more Breath of the Wild?
Yes. Thanks, right, everyone, for joining us today on this episode of the Overclocked Podcast. It is episode 61. I am your host, Brian, and joining me today is my brother and co-host, Steven.
Well, hello, everyone.
I think Welcome. Now we're done.
Okay.
This week we do actually have stuff that we have to do. I know everyone, you know, that hot new game that just came out a couple days ago, Breath of the Wild, everyone's playing it. How about those Korok seeds?
Yeah, man.
We're actually, so funny fact, Steven spends about 30% of his time in Breath of the Wild complaining about the music and the lack thereof.
I need to get out ahead of this before I start getting angry letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all bad music, of course not. Some of it is lovely and geniusly implemented. I just feel that in comparison to many of the past Zelda works, the melodies and instrumentation have something, they leave something to be desired.
He has taken to turning the soundtrack off and listening to a CD of the Ocarina of Time soundtrack as we play.
Or either that or I just sing.
And you just loop Hyrule Castle Town. But yeah, the music is definitely a departure for what Zelda games normally do. It's, yeah, way more ambient. And even the music that is there, a little hit and miss. We just got to Death Mountain and I'm not a big fan of those MIDI trumpets.
No, definitely not. I love all the piano stuff that plays interspersed throughout your travels, especially when you go to... Is it a spoiler if it's the first thing you see in the game?
No.
Especially when you see the Temple of Time. That gave me some chills. I wish it wasn't such a mixed bag because the rest of the game is perfection. It's so good.
Uh-huh. Speaking of perfection, we're also going to be talking with Nutritious this week about one of his tracks for the Super Mario RPG, or rather, I think his only track, but one of the tracks of the Super Mario RPG album, Window to the Stars, that OC Remix released a couple months back.
Fun fact, when I listened to that album and heard that track for the first time, I immediately wrote down that we would need to talk to Nutritious because I really liked that song.
That was good planning ahead for you.
That's how we do things here at the Overclock Podcast. Hey, you know what else we're going to do, though? Elisa Menace is back. She does the strategy guide segment.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I think this is her second edition?
Yeah, it's only the second one. It's sort of a continuation of the networking theme she had.
Right, where if you want to start composing music for video games, turns out you need to know people who make video games.
Yeah, and I want to throw this little nugget of truth in here. Even if you don't want to write music for video games, this will help you with your daily life. So just take out all instances of video game music and replace it with anything else.
With beekeeping.
Yeah, for a second, you couldn't remember anything about video game music.
Beekeeping is my other passion and love.
Oh, good. Well, we'll be getting to that later. But for now...
We got a lot of buzz from...
The Remix Rewind.
Where we read down the latest from OCRemix.org. Time for the stinger.
Let's look at the The door into summer is thrown open this week as Yorito steps in with a Knuckles Chaotix remix, Dreams of Summer, featuring some laid-back sax from fellow remixer Hank the Spank Tank Jankerson. This optimistic, energetic breath of fresh air is a promise of all the summer fun that's just around the corner.
Thank you. Remixer team Diodes and J-Cycle dive into Persona 3 FES with True Calling Unplugged, an impressive acoustic remix featuring original lyrics written and performed by Diodes herself. It's a beautiful new face for the tune, suitable for the spirit of this series.
Remixer Blue Lighter's contribution to OCR's Final Fantasy IX Worlds Apart album is a spirited, quirky marching band-inspired romp called March of Robbers in Treno City. Unapologetically fun, this mischief-minded piece calls up some wonderful memories from this unforgettable game.
For these remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Intune interview. I'm Brian, here again for another interview. It's crazy. I'm actually doing these again. And joining me today is Justin, a.k.a. Nutritious. How you doing, Justin?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we talked. Maybe a year or two? I can't even track. I don't think we've been around for 2 years, so.
Yeah, something like a year or so, at least.
Probably a year sounds good. So yeah, we're actually here today to talk about your track off the Super Mario RPG album that finally came out. You did a track called, remind me the name of it?
Weapons of Mass Production.
Nice. I do like the little pun there. I think that's good.
Yeah. it's kind of a bit of a triple meaning there.
Triple? Oh, I'm not sure I caught the third one.
Production as in like music production, weapons factory.
Yeah.
And then obviously the weapons of mass destruction reference.
Yeah, you're right, actually. So you've got so I assume half of the time for creating this remix was coming up with the name.
Well, that's usually my last step. So it's more like I finish it and then just sit there for a few weeks trying to think it up.
Exactly. So for people who weren't here a year ago, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit? You're an OC remixer, but like, what's your style? What's your story?
Sure. My name is Justin Medford. I have been a part of the OC remix community since 2006. I am a remixer and a staff member. I'm a judge, and I've been a judge for a few years now. I don't remember exactly when I started that. But before that, I was a workshop moderator, which kind of was focused on helping others in the workshop with their music. And so kind of progressed from there. I am a father and husband. I have 5 kids, the newborn. So pretty busy right now.
Yeah, you seem to be like the resident OC Remix father. Like you're the original OC Remix dad. So everyone goes to you for their advice.
Yeah, and Dave loves to point out how many kids I have all the time, like in the write-ups and everything. Dave is in DJ Pretzel for those listening.
The founder of OC Remix and a father of 2 kids now?
Correct, yeah.
Nice. So he is experiencing the wonders of fatherhood himself. So yeah, let's also talk about the album here, Super Mario RPG Window to the Stars. It came out pretty recently, I think about a month and a half ago. And if I remember correctly, this was in production for a very long time, right?
Yeah, and I was looking back because I was curious. I couldn't remember when I started my track. And
yeah,
my first save was in June of 2013. It's probably around the 2013. I think I joined a little bit after it started.
Right.
So it's probably early 2013 is when it got kicked off.
Oh my gosh. So like almost 4 years it took to complete this thing. And you made your track near the beginning of that, or were you working on it for a long time?
It's funny because I try and keep in a good habit of saving lots of versions of my projects because occasionally it'll get corrupted and you lose everything if you just have a single save. So I keep all my saves. So like this, you see a couple, like a few in 2013, and then it's like nothing till 2016. So that's kind of that's kind of the time span there.
Nice. So it's just like, I'll sit on that. And they're like, we're actually releasing it. And you're like, oh, shoot, I should probably finish this.
Yeah, exactly. I do have a history with the game. I didn't own it, but I remember renting it once or twice growing up. And going back, for me, what inspired me the most music-wise from gaming was Final Fantasy IV to US.
Right.
Just that whole soundtrack and everything. We rented that too, and I just was blown away. I'd never heard anything like that before. So anyway, fast forward a little bit. Mario RPG, also developed by Squaresoft, kind of around, I think, between Final Fantasy IV and VI, or somewhere around that time period.
Yeah.
So, you know, similar feel. They had the RPG. They had a song borrowed from Final Fantasy IV, which when I discovered it, I freaked out. And so, it comes into this mix later. But I was a big fan of the game back in the day. Awesome soundtrack. And so I want to say I was invited. I'd have to look back. I think I was invited to the project. I wasn't at that point joining a lot of projects just voluntarily. So, which I used to do probably back in like 08, 09. I was joining everything I could, but a little later, I think I was invited to this one, and then I kind of sat. I didn't know what track I wanted. Then I came back later, and all the tracks I wanted were taken. So I ended up with Weapons Factory, which if you have listened to the original, it's really tricky. It's got this pretty crazy time signature, something like 13:8 or something really off the wall.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge. We'll be right back.
I am one of the unlucky few who has not played Super Mario RPG. I didn't play a lot of Square stuff growing up, and so I missed that and haven't gone back to it yet. My RPGs, Mario RPG, started with like Mario and Luigi. So, like, what was the original context for this track? Was it a dungeon or something?
Yeah, it was a dungeon where you're literally fighting. If I remember, it's been a long time since I played as well. You know, it was like kind of the inanimate objects come to life type thing. I think there were literal weapons and things in the game that were alive, and so it was this factory that you're progressing through as a dungeon. So that was the kind of industrial. There's a lot of kind of industrial metallic clangs and stuff in the soundtrack and things that go along with that.
Mm-hmm. So here you were stuck with the track that you didn't want, but you had to remix for. So what was your idea? Like, how did you come to what you created for this?
Well, yeah, man, I wanted Barrel Volcano, but somebody took that way early on, and then they didn't finish the track, so somebody else took it.
Well, it was
kind of maybe on my, it wasn't on my short list, but I started listening to it a lot, and I was trying to figure out a way. The way I was approaching it was, obviously, I'm not going to try and remix something in that same time signature, because I'm not even sure how to write in that time signature. But that was probably one of the biggest challenges, was trying to adapt it to a more regular 4-4. And I ended up doing kind of a triplet 4-4 combination throughout a lot of the tracks. So I would say that was the biggest hurdle early on, was trying to adapt the time signature and try and, because, you know, the phrasing on like the bass line and things with the way it kind of jumps around doesn't resolve in a 4-4 manner. So I had to really stretch that out to try and make it to feel like a resolved phrase when I finish, you know, each sequence of it.
It seems like there would almost be something nice about switching time signatures for a song, because that worry of like cribbing exactly what the song does for any part kind of goes away because you can't quite as easily. So it kind of forces you to put your own spin on it.
I think the risk is, at the same time, that definitely kind of comes by default, but at the same time, you want someone listening to it to be like, oh yeah, this is Weapons Factory. And I don't know if someone just coming up to it familiar with the soundtrack would go straight to that. I would hope that they'd recognize. But like even, for example, the higher part that I incorporated, it kind of has I think it's like a strings sequence in the original. And having to adapt that too, because the phrasing again does not line up at all. So the main challenge isn't, can I put my own mark on it? It becomes more, can I stay close enough to the original where it still makes sense and still has that strong enough connection?
Right, exactly. And what about for like genre instrumentation? Is this like just your normal beat doing this kind, or what inspired the choice you went with?
Well, it was kind of the natural progression of what I was enjoying listening to at the time and still today. I started out with my older mixes. I did have like one random electronic one early on, but mostly it was like orchestral stuff or kind of a little bit of hybrid orchestral with other things. And, but I didn't even really listen to that very much. I enjoyed adapting games to that, but it wasn't like, this is what I listen to for enjoyment on the side. So I wanted to start creating something like heavier. I was listening to a lot of like, I think late 2009, 10-ish, like Pendulum and some other artists. And then around this time, I was listening to more some D&D drum and bass and some more heavier, not necessarily dubstep, but kind of pseudo, I don't know what you'd call it necessarily, but like kind of the pseudo dubstep artist. So I wanted to create something that was really heavy, really kind of that wall of sound, you know, heavy bass, but not like overbearing, you know what I mean? And so try and get something that really has a lot of presence and has that big electronic kind of exciting impact that I enjoy listening to in music.
Yeah, and it seems luckily to also fit the idea of a weapons factory pretty well, something industrial, dangerous, electronic. So, yeah, it definitely was a natural fit as someone who didn't know the original track. The melody and the style worked really well together to me. But it also samples or uses another source track, right?
Yes, it does. And that's part of the whole 2016 part I talked about earlier, how I had that big jump. So the way it started out was I started the track, and I remember I was working on it, kind of got some ideas together, got the theme of that kind of triplet backing and the whole Weapons Factory first half. In other words, I pretty much developed, and then I got completely stuck. It sat there. I kept trying to come back to it. I let it rest for a month or two, come back to it. Nothing ever, I couldn't develop it. I couldn't figure out what to do. And I felt like I'd exhausted all my Weapons Factory ideas. I experimented with stretching things out and just felt repetitive. So I got stuck for about 2 years. Someone else, I think Demons, took over the project as the director because it was stalled out and he was trying to get things wrapped up. So I remember him messaging me. He's like, hey, how's this going? You know, can you finish it out? I was like, yeah, well, I kind of got stuck. Here's what I have. I think I'm just kind of write a real quick ending and give it to you. And that would have been kind of like a little over half of what the song is now, and just kind of like cut it off and leave it there. It's like, what do you think? Should I just do that? He's like, no, man, you really need to, this is great. You know, you really should try and flesh it out. So we kind of went back and forth a few times, and he's like, well, why don't you try kind of like, I don't know if you like suggested like a drum and bass transition or something like that. And I was like, well, that might work. I don't know. I was kind of doing a lot of that at the time too. So I remember I was like, I was ready to just kind of throw in the towel because I was kind of tired of it and it sat on my hard drive for a couple of years. But he kind of pushed me to try to develop it to something further. So I did. And I remember I was kind of listening to the track and trying to hum it to myself, because sometimes that's how I come up with ideas, is just try and, you know, hum parts of it that I'm stuck on and see if it kind of develops in my mind anything else. And I remember just randomly going back to because I said before, Final Fantasy IV is one of my favorite soundtracks. I went randomly to the boss fight which is the second half of this track. And that's one of my favorite, you know, music video game songs of all time. So I started humming that, and then it hit me, like, just not even thinking about it. I just kind of naturally did. Then it hit me. It's like, that song is also in Super Mario RPG. And I completely forgot that.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and started writing. And I managed to kind of transition things slowly to a drum and bass take on, it's called Fight with Culex, I think, in the Super Mario RPG soundtrack, which is just essentially a cover of the Final Fantasy IV boss music.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, I think it's probably my favorite part of the track is when that melody comes in, especially as someone who's familiar with the Final Fantasy soundtracks, but not the Super Mario RPG soundtrack. It was like this moment of, oh my gosh, I recognize that. And it ties the games together, because something that's so cool about Mario RPG is it's a Mario game created by Square.
Exactly. And that part of the game it's like an Easter egg, because it's kind of a secret side boss, and he's very clearly a reference to Final Fantasy IV, and he's in the style, the pixel style of that, and you have to fight him and all that, spoilers, whatever. But so it's a direct reference to Final Fantasy IV, and it was just a total coincidence that ended up like that. But something I was kind of proud of. So that was like early 2016, like March-ish, where I got that idea, and then I just hammered it out and sent it off to him. But part I was particularly proud of when I was working on this, though, is I managed to, because I didn't want it to just sound like two themes and two genres just pasted together. Like, you've got your down-tempo heavy weapons factory, and then I pasted on the drum and bass, Culex boss music on the side. And then that just, that kind of goes against what I feel like is a single arrangement. So I was really working hard to try and incorporate both of them together at the same time. So there's a part where it kind of gradually, after it goes to the drum and bass section, there's parts that are still from Weapons Factory
playing,
like the bass line and things. Yep. And then it kind of briefly goes to like the Culex part. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back a little bit. So kind of the backing kind of goes back and forth a little bit till it fully engages into the Culex theme.
I feel like you could be playing the Culex melody over the first half of it.
The chord progression is different, but there's ways I remember I was trying to just write it by ear, because I'm super familiar with the Final Fantasy IV soundtrack, and I could not, the second half of the boss theme, I couldn't figure it out. I finally had to just kind of transcribe it from the original. I was surprised, because I thought I was super familiar with it, and it actually, the way it moves around, it just up and down, it wasn't what I remembered it to be, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there are a lot of jumps and chord shifts in that second part. It's not quite as simple as that first melody.
Yeah.
But it's really great. There's like this feeling of like, I don't know, there's something about that second half of it that's almost like just you, it's so like freeing after everything that's so oppressive. It's very inspiring, which I think is a good
thank you. Yeah,
half to have for a boss fight.
Yeah, I'd say it kind of goes a little bit more into positive feeling territory.
Exactly. It's like, this has been so dark and dismal, but I think I can win now. I think I got the upper hand.
Maybe reminds you're reaching the end of the dungeon and you get to fight the boss at the end or something.
Exactly. Or like in Shadow of the Colossus, where you climb on top of the beast and then the inspiring music starts playing.
Oh, I'll have to take your word for it.
You never played Shadow of the Colossus?
No.
Okay, go back to that. Your kids will love it.
Hey, man, you haven't played Super Mario RPG. So
that is true. You know what I haven't played? Breath of the Wild, and I hate it that I can't play it. I don't have time.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when it comes to like video games, for me, what feels like new and recent as far as series go, like I grew up playing some Mega Man, so we had like Mega Man 3, I'd play 1 and 2 at my friend's house, and it was like, so for me, like the memory of like the new awesome Mega Man is like Mega Man X, like Super Nintendo, super, modern soundtrack. And if I go back and look at the list of them, I'm like, it just, I have no concept of what are like new games anymore.
Oh yeah, me neither. Especially over the last like year or two, it's just I see game after game coming out, and I'm like, I don't have time to play you. You look really good. Maybe one day when I'm retired, I'll play all these games.
I don't own any consoles that are even near the generation that allows you to play these games.
Well, just figure out whichever kid's birthday is next and get them a Switch.
There you go.
But yeah, so what do you think is your favorite part of this track? Was it bringing that melody in from Final Fantasy?
I don't feel like I have a particular favorite part. And I know that's kind of cliched, but the reason I say that is I had different goals for both, kind of, if you're going to separate into halves, maybe. I had a goal to get a really big, heavy, down-tempo sound, and I feel like I got that once it all kicks in. And then the second part, I wanted to do something that with the kind of envision one of my favorite soundtrack songs of all time in a really exciting way and a really energetic way. And I feel like I managed to do that too. So I feel like once each section kind of hits its stride, that those are my favorite parts. And not to mention what I said earlier about transitioning between both themes at the same time.
So it sounds like this track was a mission accomplished for you. You got what you wanted to do. Done.
Yeah, eventually. And you know, that's thanks to someone else pushing me to really...
That often is. Like, most great accomplishments are due to someone making us do them.
Yeah. Kind of when you run out, you feel like you're at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do. And yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So if there's something you could change or add to this track, if you had more time on it, I guess you had 4 years, so maybe you had all the time you needed.
Yeah. If I had anything I wanted to change, I probably would have done it.
Yep.
Because I don't think I have any other ideas where I could say, hey, I should have done this. Or, I mean, I think I can always improve how I produce things. I can always improve my sequencing and things and like realism and things like guitars. I use Shreddage and it's I'm not the best at it. It's a great program, fortunately. So it kind of makes up for my limitations. But I don't feel like I quite accomplish the realism, especially in like lead guitar. It doesn't quite... My guitar friends kind of make fun of my lead guitar sound.
Well, it has a synthesized guitar sound, which I think kind of fits the genres you go for. It reminds me of like Will Rock's use of guitar. He often uses...
Yeah, and I'm not going for like ultra realistic, but I do want it to sound good. And
that's why it sounds pretty good.
I actually layer a synth with it throughout to give it that synthetic sound, because I think if it's more exposed, it doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of Will Rock... If I had one change to this, or you ever did an addition, you need to collab with Will Rock and have him put a synth solo in there somewhere, and then you're good to go.
I have done this before. I have a couple. We were in a competition a few years back, and he did a synth solo for me a couple times. And it's funny you mentioned that, because it wasn't this track. I'm trying to remember. So I had a potential collaboration with him, and... Oh man, I'm trying to remember. It's one of my more recent for me, like last few years tracks where I had just bought Shreddage, and he had already laid down some recordings for me. And this is a terrible story. I needed to make a bunch of changes to them, so I just went ahead and sequenced it in Shreddage. I was like, "Hey, dude, I needed to change these," so I went ahead and did. You know, I didn't. It kind of took him a while to get it to me, and I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't realize he put like a ton of effort into recording these, and so then I just like cut on. So I'm like, "Yeah, I replaced them all with the sequenced Shreddage thing." And he has never let me forget that. I didn't realize at the time how big a deal it was, but
he'll never live it down.
Yeah, I mean, we joke about it now, but I felt really bad about that. I wish I could say which track it was. It was one of my... It might have been my... you know what? It was the Bowser's Road song I did for the Mario 64.
Yeah.
That originally had some Will Rock guitars. And so when you said Will Rock collaboration, I was like, oh, man.
Not again.
Is he baiting me here?
No, I actually didn't know that story. We actually had Will Rock on the show last week, and we talked about some of the, just a bunch of random things. And then we had our playlist section where we have you listeners submit different song ideas. Our theme for that week was synth solos, and like half of the submissions were Will Rock songs.
Surprise there. He's excellent at sequencing those. I think he spends a lot of time. He's actually kind of my goal to get to when I'm trying to write some synth work, is to say, okay, does this sound like something he'd do? Because there was some Mega Man songs we did when we were doing that competition I briefly talked about earlier, where he did some, I think it's Wily's Inferno, if I recall. It's one of my posted tracks where he does some synth soloing in the middle, and it sounds incredible. Like, just, I don't even know how he does it. So
he lives and breathes everything about that genre and that style of play. So
exactly.
It really shows in what he produces. So yeah, so do you think you're going to be remixing anything else anytime soon, or are we going to see another Nutritious song in about 4 years?
Hopefully not quite that long. I've had these. This is my last one that's been approved and submitted and ready to go. I have a couple other tracks I've done that I have not submitted that were from years past. I think I have a Shovel Knight one I did a couple years ago, a year ago or two, though I'd have to kind of fix it up. There's a Cave Story song that I've like kind of an a big movie score-ish genre version of one I have about halfway done that I haven't touched in a couple years, unfortunately. I would like to finish it up because it's something that pops in my head every once in a while. But yeah, I think the as I always talk about, for me, it's the intersection of both having time and inspiration and motivation all coming together at the same time, which is pretty rare. And it's tempting to just do things to blow off steam or, you know.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of free time, as you can imagine. So, but that is one of my goals, to get back into the groove of the creativity, because that's what I enjoy doing.
If you had infinite time, are there any ideas in particular that you'd want to create, or are you still waiting for the inspiration to strike?
Part of that Cave Story thing is I have one, probably my most popular track is my Cave Story mix from the final boss.
Yeah.
And that's one I'm probably most proud of, just because of how it went down, and I feel like it stepped up my game as an artist multiple levels when I did that, because I hadn't done anything like that before that. I feel like these kind of feed off that, that experience is allowed me to do tracks like this, like this Mario RPG one. But what I would like to do, what I have talked about with Larry in the past, is it'd be really cool to kind of do a whole kind of experience album of something like Cave Story, where that's kind of why I had this other track I was working on. It was the orchestral one for the first cave theme or something like that. I thought it would be cool to put something together that's kind of a journey through it. I know there is some unofficial, as unofficial as OC Remix goes. It's not an OC Remix release, but there is a Cave Story album from years and years ago. As I'm aware of that, but I thought that would be a very cool thing if I had the time and inclination, would be a cool thing to try and accomplish.
I think that is a great way to end this interview. So thanks so much, Justin, for joining us today. We're going to look out for more nutritious remixes whenever they run down the pipeline. And for now, we're going to head back to the show.
Hi, I'm Elisa Menez, and this is your Game Audio Strategy Guide. I'm a composer and sound designer for games. I've been on the show a few times to talk about various projects I'm working on, and of course to talk about how to break into game audio. So I'm back with another segment. I just kind of wanted to share some more information about what you should be doing at developer meetups. I talked last time about how it's important to go out to meetups and to meet people and to kind of develop relationships. So today I kind of wanted to include some quick networking how-tos, just so you can make the events that you go to just kind of more productive. You can really, when we're first starting out, we want to go around from table to table, talk to every developer that's at, you know, an expo, demo night, whatever it is. You want to try to like chat up everyone in the room and just kind of like indiscriminately throw your business cards around in hopes that you're going to be reaping in so much work. And I'm here to say that that's not necessarily what's going to happen. You know, you're just going to be kind of like forgotten, like, oh, that one person just came up to me and handed me the card and walked away. Like, people are going to look at your card the next day, out of their stack of like, you know, whatever, how many cards you get, 10, 20, 30 cards, and they're not going to remember who you are because, you know, you didn't stop to spend the time to make a meaningful impact on them, on their evening, you know, whatever it may be. So it's really, really important that you go to some kind of networking event with a very particular goal in mind. Just meet just a few people. Have a few meaningful conversations instead of just trying to, like, spread your flyer or your card or whatever to everybody in the room. It's just a lot more personal that way. Remember too, at the end of the day, when it comes to game audio, people tend to just hire their friends. They're not just gonna hire some rando from an event who's just throwing, you know, their business cards everywhere and saying, hire me, hire me, hire me, hire me. That's not how it works. You don't want to be going to these events just saying, you know, me, 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 give me a job. So what you want to do instead is, what I should do before we go to any kind of game development, demo night or whatever I may happen to go to, is I kind of research ahead of time who's going to be there and kind of try to think, who do I want to try to talk to that night? Just figure out in advance, why you're there at the event, who you're trying to talk to. And you never know, you can bump into someone on the way to the bathroom and have a really awesome conversation. You might not get to talk to somebody that you really want to talk to that night, and that's okay, but it's kind of good to go to have a more significant connection with fewer people, which is what I'm trying to stress. I look for a few games that kind of gel with what I'm looking to create for games. You know, even before I mention that I do music or anything, you know, I'll talk to them and I'll say like, wow, you know, this art is really, really cool. I really think this aesthetic like works really well for the game. You know, I'll try to talk something about the game like, oh, I really appreciate, you know, this mechanic here. I really appreciate the game's simplicity, but I think it's so cool how zany it can get afterwards, you know. Whatever it may be, if I like the game, if for whatever reason I'm not like gelling with whatever game that I'm playing, like, I'm not gonna, like, pull something out of my butt and be like, oh yeah, this is so great, because I believe in just being genuine. That's really, really important to me for making a connection. You know, and if you're not sure what to talk about, and if maybe your conversation partner might not be the most talkative, I try to fall back on some questions that I feel like will get a really kind of profound answer. So, I'll ask the developer, okay, you know, if you can make any game in the world, what game would you make? You know, just some kind of like big open-ended question. So then it opens up to a lot of like conversation points. It's important to, you know, that skill too, be able to have a conversation and keep that going back and forth between yourself and a developer. You know, anyone that you may meet at one of these events is really, really important. Because if you kind of let that conversation like die down like after a minute, then you don't really make a significant connection with that person. And it's kind of hard to build any kind of relationship that way. So sometimes, you know, you have to kind of like serve the conversation up. I kind of think of it as a game of tennis. You serve your ball, you hit your racket. So it's like your conversation point, you hit it over to them. They'll give you something to work with. And then, you know, it's up to you just kind of like keep that conversation fresh and going. And then after the fact, it's really, really important that you keep in contact with people afterwards. So, you know, you get your business card, you guys exchange, you know, information, quick, concise email, say like the next day or so. You really want to do it like in a timely basis. And just saying like, hey, it was a pleasure meeting you. I had fun talking about XYZ. It's good too to kind of keep in contact with them on Twitter, social media, LinkedIn, whatever it may be. I prefer Twitter for that because Twitter's like the best kind of social media platform for conversations. So, you know, you can follow like the developer you meet, follow the devlog, follow what they're doing on Twitter, and you know, comment like, hey, your game's looking really cool. You know, if they see you talking to them and they're talking to you and you kind of have like this conversation going, that's basically how you're building a relationship with them. And you know, when it comes time for them to figure out their audio, they'll remember, hey, that person was really cool and they're really interested in my game, and I went and I listened to their music and it's great. So that's usually how those connections happen. It doesn't happen with everyone, it doesn't happen all the time. I've met a ton of people. I've only worked with a small fraction of them. So just to kind of give a sense of, you know, how that works out. I mean, that's basically how you start making friends in this industry. I mean, that's what it's all about. So in conclusion, remember, go out to lots of events, try to have some good talking points with people. If your conversation partner is not the best conversationalist, you can ask like a really profound question. You can think about, you know, whatever you want to ask. Something that's going to kind of elicit like a good response from them, and that you can kind of have some talking points from there. Follow through, follow up with them, and just make sure that, you know, you kind of keep that relationship going. You see them at another event, you talk to them again. You kind of just build it from there, and you know, hopefully that leads to you getting some good work. All right, this has been another Game Audio Strategy Guide. I will be around next time.
Like that. I like it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for yet another edition of the Overclock Podcast. It turns out we're not stopping yet.
Nope. Everyone had the rumors flying that our April Fool's episode would be the end of us. But nope.
It's kind of hard to believe that we've edited and put out 60 of these. That's kind of crazy. Really,
I was thinking about that just today when I had the Overclock Remix logo up on my laptop. And I'm like, oh, got to go run in there and finish the show notes and record. And for a moment, I had forgotten to be amazed and grateful that we're allowed to make this show every single week.
Yeah, it's really cool. And also be amazed and grateful for Sin for writing our Remix Rewind, for Justin for doing the interview this week, and for Alisa for doing her wonderful segment.
Yeah, everyone did great work. And I want to say something. We made a little mistake in the last episode.
Oh.
I believe we credited Sin for writing all of the Remix Rewinds, including the Knuckles ones. That wasn't him. That was us.
We got to own up to it. Yeah. Hey, I will gladly take credit for those.
I just want to make that clear in case this goes on anyone's
Sin's got to step up his game to match how we can write Remix Rewinds. Yes. But yeah, if anyone wants to check out more OC Remix stuff, the best place to do it is Florida. Just... What? I don't know. I was tired of the normal outro.
Well, we can change it up. We can say, I know, let's think of a new way to do it. Let's say, okay, it'll be a Q&A thing. Okay, so here I'll go.
Okay.
Okay, so Brian, I just have a few questions for you before we leave.
Oh, wow, I have three answers.
Okay, wow, how fortuitous. If I were to, you know, be a curious listener of music and wanted to find more Overclock Remix, you know, past works, where would I go and do that?
Podcast at ocremix.org.
You had one job!
You would go to www.ocremix.org.
Oh, that's a very good answer. But how about this one? If I wanted to follow this podcast on Twitter, how would I do that?
Ooh, that's a toughie, but I have an answer. It is OCR Podcast.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So my last question is, if I forget all this information and want to email you for clarification, how do I do that?
Well, you would email podcast@ocremix.org.
Great. And I suggest that each and every one of you do the same thing, because then you can submit songs to the playlist.
Wowza. Speaking of the playlist...
The playlist is a weekly collection of listener-submitted recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is non-Final Fantasy Square music. The Dream That Time Dreams, from Chrono Cross, and submitted by Native Jovian.
Main Menu, from Mario Sports Mix and submitted by Patch Pit.
Albin Welt from Saga Frontier and submitted by Phoenix Down. Mystery of the Forest, from Chrono Trigger and submitted by Major Third. Forest Maze from Super Mario RPG and submitted by Will Rock. Bonds of Sea and Fire from Xenogears and submitted by Yorito. Thank you. Meridian Child, from Seiken Densetsu 3, and submitted by Yami.
Best Tone, from Driving Emotion Type S, and submitted by Carlos.
Sunset Coastline, from Rad Racer, and submitted by Kyle JCRB.
Golden Hour, from Life is Strange, and submitted by Sid.
Been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Disco and Desert. Yeah, you heard us. Anything with disco influences or a desert vibe. It'll all make sense next week. To submit your own suggestions,
or just say how you doing,
hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom.
To tell the truth, in this contract, I don't care about anything except me. just want the cash transferred to my account because it will make me feel all right.